Good brethren here at the Benton congregation to continue our series of gospel meetings together this week. And it's a privilege anytime I get to be with my brethren, whether publicly or privately, to open up God's word and read it and learn from it. I just thoroughly enjoy that. And then on top of that, to sing together and to blend our voices together in these harmonies and these thoughts and the lyrics, it's encouraging, and to pray together. I've enjoyed the day, and I've also enjoyed being with my spiritual family and brethren here at Benton. I appreciate the hospitality that has been shown myself and Steve and Sue. It was good to be with the Eldridges for lunch. I appreciate their hospitality and being with them, and then to be with Phyllis this evening. I'm gratefully appreciative for that. You know, gospel meetings, of course, are about the spiritual feast that we have, but there's an added benefit of being with brethren, visiting with them, talking with them, and getting to know them better. And I appreciate my brethren feeding me today. I guess it's been about 33 years ago this past May that I began preaching on a regular basis. I graduated from high school, and the May of that year, I wanted to preach on a regular basis. I wanted to be like my father and my older brother Steve, and my older brother Tim at the time were preaching regularly. And so I started doing that in a what we might call a preacher training program in San Antonio, Texas. Since that time, I've been associated with many brethren in the preaching work, different congregations in different states. And in every place that I've been, there have always been older, in some case elderly, godly brethren that are just consistent and constant and regular in their service to the Lord, devoted and dependable, and always there you can count on them, every place I've ever been. I believe that there are brethren like that here. I've seen that already this week. It may be a situation where they're the ones that are opening up the church building and closing it at the end of the evening. It might be that they're the ones who are preparing the communion and bringing it out on the Lord's table and making sure that it is ready. It might be cleaning the building. It might be going by and picking up someone, but that has always been the case. I was preaching one place in Merritt Island, Florida, getting my feet wet and preaching the gospel. And the couple that always opened up the church building was an elderly couple. They always had me in their home Sunday afternoon because it was about a 2.5 to 3 hour drive one way from the school over to that congregation. And they said, always come over. Our home is always open to you. And they would feed me lunch. And they were the ones that always had the building open. I started preaching. Sherry and I got married, and a few years later, I was preaching in Corpus Christi, Texas in the early 90s. There was an elderly couple that always opened up the church building. She had arthritis. Her fingers were bent over, just like that. She was always preparing the Lord's Supper. They were always there cleaning the building, opening up the building, making sure. There was a parking lot that had a big metal bar out blocking the entrance so that people wouldn't drive through the parking lot during the week. And one of them would be out there opening up the gate when we got there. There have always been godly brethren who are older, who are committed and constant and consistent. Where we're at now, at Warfield Boulevard, there's an elderly lady that never misses a service. She comes in with a walker. She's got all kinds of ailments and pains and aches. Always there, never misses a service. Never. Has the same aches and pains that we do, has the same daily schedules that we do, has the same, you know, children and all kinds of things that we have. She's always there. And when I come here and I see brethren like that here, I'm reminded of a text of Scripture that I want us to consider this evening to encourage us all to be this way. Because in a few years, when these godly brethren have passed on, will we be the ones that take their place? Someone's got to take their place. Will we be the ones? And we always appreciate brother so-and-so who we know that we can depend upon and sister so-and-so. But this evening, is that going to be me? When I think of my elderly brethren that are consistent and constant and always there, I think of a group of individuals in the Old Testament I told you about last night that come to my mind. And so I'd like for us this evening, if you will, to turn to Psalm 134. This psalm just has three verses. Psalm 134, but it's packed full of meaning, and I hope that we will gain that encouragement this evening. Brethren, if we're not that person, I want to encourage us to be that person from this night forward. And be that brother or sister that is constant and consistent. In all of my years of preaching, it's been rare that the person opening up the building or doing the communion or something like that was the 20-year-old or the 30-year-old. Why is it always the 60-year-old, the 70-year-old, the 80-year-old? Why is that? Because those my age and down, many of them have not learned to be like these people that we're going to learn about this evening. Theirs is more of a religion of convenience than of conviction. In all of those times that I preached in college and different congregations that I went to, it was never the 20-year-old early opening up the building. It was that couple that was in their 70s or their 80s. Why is that? I believe that there's a generation of brethren of that age who learned early on when they were baptized into Christ that I'm going to be consistent and constant. We all need to be like that. And so this evening I want to encourage you, I want to thank you. Those brethren here who are those brethren, I want to thank you for being that group of people. But all of us need to be that group of people, because when our loved ones have passed on from this life, we need to step up and take their place. Let's look this evening at this little Psalm 134. And as we begin to read this, I wanted to also mention this by way of Bible study. I've learned to appreciate God's Word more and more every year that God gives me to read and study. And one thing that I've learned with regard to personal Bible study is to slow down and appreciate things in a more greater way, where we might just read over that. One day I was reading Psalm 134, and I would encourage you in your homes to read from just a personal encouragement standpoint the Psalms. I try to keep a Bible by my bed, and before going to bed, I just like to open it up and read a few verses and then go to bed. And often in the Psalms. And one evening I was reading Psalm 134, and my attention was brought to the end of verse 1. Who are these people? And I'd read over that before, but had not given it attention. And I wanted to look more at these people. And as I began to look at these individuals, this lesson came to my mind that in these days, there were committed and constant Israelites who were serving the Lord, and they are an admonition for us. Let's read the text together, Psalm 134, just three verses, three small verses with a very big lesson. Behold, bless ye Jehovah, all ye servants of Jehovah, that by night stand in the house of Jehovah. Lift up your hands to the sanctuary and bless ye Jehovah. Jehovah bless thee out of Zion, even he that made heaven and earth. What I know about these individuals, number one, is that they're servants, verse 1, but I'm told that by night stand in the house of Jehovah. I'd read over that before, but hadn't really considered that. It's just a statement and you want to read on. But who are these Israelites who by night stand in the house? First of all, the tabernacle, and then later when the temple was built in the days of Solomon. Who are these servants, these Israelites, that stand by night in the house of Jehovah? Who are these people? And as I began to dig into it and look at the Bible passages related to it, I find that they are Levites who were assigned to the tabernacle and the temple all night long. I'm talking 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, all night long. And I think about these individuals, and I think about the commitment and the constancy and the character that these individuals must have in serving the Lord, and I'm reminded that we need to be like that today. These were servants, verse 1, and in particular, priests and Levites. And I know from my Bible that in the New Testament church, in 1 Peter 2 and verse 5, that we are a spiritual house. We are the spiritual priests and Levites that offer up spiritual sacrifices. And while we're not given a commandment in the New Testament for something to be done at 1 in the morning and 2 in the morning and 3 in the morning, we can still have this attitude and this disposition. So let's look at who these individuals are. Turn with me, first of all, to Leviticus chapter 6. These individuals that by night stand in the house of Jehovah are Levites. Sons of Aaron, those who are assigned to working in the tabernacle and working later in the temple. And there are passages in the book of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers that have the word continually in it. There were some things that were not allowed to go out at all, period, ever. For example, fire had to be kept burning on the altar. Look at Leviticus chapter 6 and beginning in verse 8. And Jehovah spake unto Moses, saying, command, this is not an option or a suggestion, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth upon the altar all night unto the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning thereon. Verse 12, and the fire upon the altar shall be kept burning thereon, and it shall not go out. The priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and he shall lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offering. Fire shall be kept burnt upon the altar continually. It shall not go out. So, there were Levites there who, once this was in force, at the end of the book of Exodus, were told that the tabernacle was set up and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Starting right there until the old law was passed away. Do you realize how long that is? 1,400 years, 24/7, 1,400 years. That's a long time. So who's going to keep that going all night long? They that stand at night and wait upon the Lord. The night watchers. That's what I want to talk about this evening. Are you a night watcher? Am I a night watcher? Another thing that was to be kept burning was the lamp. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 24. So the fire had to be kept burning. The lamp had to be kept burning. Leviticus 24, verse 2, command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure olive oil beaten for the light to cause a lamp to burn continually. Verse 4, he shall keep it in order, the lamps upon the pure candlestick before Jehovah continually. You can turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 9 and 1 Chronicles chapter 23. There were singers praising the Lord all night long. Have you ever tried to keep a fire going? You have to keep putting the wood on that. You have to keep moving those logs around and stoking that and moving that and keeping that going. You can't just set it on fire and then walk off. And it takes a lot of work. These men were dedicated and devoted. And you stop and think about that, brethren. Just picture in your mind, in the tabernacle first and then later in the temple, picture in your mind this brazen altar with the fire going, and the lamp has to be given oil to keep it going. Nobody's there at 2 a.m. Nobody's there. Nobody's there at 3 a.m. Nobody's there at 4 a.m. Why are you doing it? Because God said to do it. You could see how easily it would be. Nobody's here. Nobody's watching. We're not going to have a burnt offering until the morning again. There was nobody there as far as the Israelites regularly coming and bringing their sacrifice. That started in the morning. There was another one at night. There could have been the attitude easily. Why are we doing this? Because God said so. Are you a night watcher? Am I a night watcher? Three little verses in a psalm extol and praise these individuals. Well, you stop and think about this. It's got to go all night long, all day long. After a little while, there would be a temptation to stop doing it. And lo and behold, that's what we find in the Word of God. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Now we come on down a few hundred years to the time of Hezekiah. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles 29. In the days of Hezekiah, this had all been let go. And you can see why. After a while, there are individuals who say, I don't see the value in it. There are individuals who say, I don't want to do that anymore. It's too hard. I've got problems and I can't be doing that in my life too. And so what we find then is it had been abandoned. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Look at what Hezekiah did in the first month of his reign. 2 Chronicles 29 verse 3. He in the first year of his reign, in the first of the month, opened the doors of the house of Jehovah and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the broad place on the east. And he said unto them, Hear ye me, ye Levites, now sanctify yourselves and sanctify the house of Jehovah, the God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. This had been let go. And the first step is to sanctify ourselves, brethren. It means to set ourselves apart. I believe all of us from time to time just need to be reminded to be set apart for the Lord. We've just been caught up into the things of our life too much. So the first step was to sanctify themselves. Verse 6. For our fathers have trespassed. This is a sin now. And done that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of Jehovah, that's the temple, and turned their backs. And they also shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. They let the fires go out. They had their reasons. They had their whys and wherefores and what I've got going on in my life. Yeah, they had all that. But they had let it go out. It was a sin. Look at verse 8. Wherefore, the wrath of Jehovah was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to toss them to and fro, and to be an astonishment and a hissing, as ye see with your eyes. And we don't have time to look at the history of the kings of Israel, of the north and the south, and how God tried to bring them back with prophets, and when they wouldn't hear, that different armies would come in. As a result of punishment, God is trying to get them to come back to his word, and so tossed to and fro. Verse 9, for lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with Jehovah, the God of Israel, that his fierce anger may turn away from us. We're going to have to change our hearts. We're going to have to sanctify ourselves, set ourselves apart again. And I appreciate Rick singing, Work for the Night is Coming, and watch and pray. We might need to sanctify ourselves again and remind ourselves again of what is really important. And number two, change our heart, verse 10. And then look at verse 3, and I want you to underscore this in your Bible. My sons, be not now negligent. Underscore that in your Bible. How did it cease to be? Just plain old simple negligence. Not gross immorality. Not murder. Just simple neglect. We get busy doing our own thing. We got stuff we got to do. Underscore that. Be not now negligent. That's how it came about. The fires went out because they were just negligent. For Jehovah hath chosen you, you Levites, to stand before him, to minister unto him, that you should be his ministers and burn incense. And so the rest of the chapter is what we call these reforms and restorations and reformations of Hezekiah. They offer up the sacrifices. They keep the Passover again. And they're blessed by God. Negligence. I've got a boat up on the Sea of Galilee. I've got to go take care of that. Been wanting to take a trip to the Mediterranean with my wife. We haven't been able to leave, you know, the little town of Bethlehem. We've been working night and day for years, and we just want to get away and take a trip to the Mediterranean. And so I can't watch the fires at 1 a.m. Maybe it was a trip. Maybe it was a boat they had to go check on up on the Sea of Galilee. Maybe it was a cousin down in the Sinai that had been inviting them down for years to do this or that. Whatever it was a neglect. Working on my house, and my kids are in school, whatever. The fires had gone out. And so, these individuals, in just a little short psalm, are beautiful individuals. They were blessed. There were always men in the midst of all the other people that didn't want to do it. There were always men, and they're blessed in Psalm 134, verse 1, by God, servants who stand by night and continually serve the Lord. A few hundred years later, it had been neglected and nobody was doing that. The encouragement for us this evening is to be a night watcher. And I believe that there are those who are here this evening who are doing that, and let's all be a part of that. Who will take their place when they're no longer with us? Turn with me to Luke chapter 17 and verse 10. Who are these individuals? I believe that these individuals, these men who are keeping the fire going and the lamp going at 1 a.m. and 2 a.m. and 3 a.m., these are individuals who are dedicated and devoted to their work. They have a sense of duty. I believe we've lost that in our country as a whole, and maybe some among the Lord's church. Even so, you also, Luke 17:10, when you shall have done all things that are commanded you, saying, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. Do you have a sense of duty to this congregation here at Benton? A sense of duty. A duty with regard to our attendance. A duty with regard to our work in and out of this building. Is it a sense of duty? I've talked with some brethren before, usually younger brethren, about attendance matters. And I've had some tell me and make points about attendance. It's almost as if you should be happy that I'm here, kind of a thing. Really? Really? No, you should be here out of a sense of duty. But they're like, well, you ought to be happy that I'm here X number of times a month. You ought to be pleased with that. And it's almost like they want an award or an applaud. We have a duty to be here. But some have almost gotten an attitude of, you ought to be thankful what time I'm here. Well, no. There's a sense of duty. And these men were there at 1 and 2 and 3 because that's what the law of God said. And I'm dedicated and devoted to that. I don't care about what my fellow Israelites are doing. Let us have that sense of duty. And we will be the night watchers. We will always be there where we can be counted on to do what we need to do in the Lord's work. I believe we're lacking a sense of duty in our nation as a whole. Some talk about the World War II generation and how that those men and women had a sense of duty and they died for their country. And that's what made, in part, this country great in many kinds of ways. But actually, what they were doing was they were following biblical principles. Not only the principle of duty, but also the principle of selflessness and sacrifice. It wasn't that that generation of men and women just happened to have some interesting values. They're actually following the values of God's Word. And it made this nation great. But we're losing in the next generations, in the younger generations, the sense of duty and the sense of selflessness. What did Paul say in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1? To present your bodies a living sacrifice. Isn't sacrifice by nature giving up? That's exactly what it is. We're going to give up. Yes, there might be something personally that we would do in place of the Lord's work, but I'm going to give that up. And Paul writes in chapter 2 and verse 17, look with me at the statement that he makes there in Philippians 2:17. And what's interesting about this statement is it's made about a young person. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. He first talks about the Philippian brethren. Yea, and if I am offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. Paul sacrificed and served. They sacrificed and served by contributing to him monetarily. That comes out later in chapter 4. But come down to Timothy in verse 20. And young people who are here this evening, listen up. You can be a young person who's devoted and dedicated to the Lord. You might have a lot of your friends in your generation that are selfish, but Timothy is a young man, and look at what is said about him. For I have no man, Philippians 2:20, I have no man like-minded who will care truly for your state, for they all seek their own selfishness, not the things of Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a child serveth a father, so he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel. This young man, I don't have any man like him. Selfless and sacrificial. And that's the way we need to be. In fact, if you go back to verse 5, when Paul said, have this mind in you, what was that mind of Christ? The New American Standard says, have this attitude in you. What was it? Verse 6, he sacrificed and came from heaven to die on the cross for us. We have to have that same attitude. These men knew about a sense of duty. These men had a sense of selflessness. Yes, there's places they could have been at 1, 2, and 3 in the morning, but they're following God's word. And not only that, but turn with me to John 14, 15, a very familiar passage. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. They had a love for God's word and a sense of loyalty to the word of God. And when the word of God tells me something, I have a sense of duty and love to that. I'm going to carry that out as Moses commanded. And they did that for a while. They did that during the wilderness wandering. They did that when the kingdom was established. Saul, David, Solomon. But during the period of the kings, it had gotten away. And so badly that they weren't even burning the sacrifices anymore in the days of Hezekiah. And he said, guys, we've got to change this now. We've got to sanctify ourselves. We've got to have a better heart. And do not neglect this anymore. And they got back together and they did what they were supposed to do. Do we really have a sense of duty? Do we have a sense of selflessness? Do we have a sense of loyalty? The encouragement this evening is to have that. Be a night watcher. You know, these individuals, there was no excuse making. There was no excuse making. These men of Psalm 134, I'm not talking about the ones in Hezekiah's day, they had neglected it. I'm talking about the ones in David's day when these Psalms are written. These men, they didn't make excuses. I can't be there at 1, 2, 3 in the morning. I can't do that. I've got this excuse and that excuse. And you know, one thing I know about God, the only thing I know about God, is what he reveals about himself in his word. And one thing that he reveals about himself in both Testaments is that he does not accept excuses. Do you remember in Exodus chapter 4 when God called Moses to come and lead the Israelites out of Egypt? What was the first thing he said? Well, I can't do that. Not an eloquent speaker. And they won't believe me and they won't listen to me. And God said, okay, that's fine. I accept that. Nope. He said, no, you're going to do that. And Jesus, when I read about the parable of the Great Supper in Luke chapter 14, and he presents this Great Supper, this man does, and he invites everybody to come, and the text says they all began with one accord to make excuse. Oh, I've gotten married, and I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I've got to go prove them, and I bought a field, and I've got to... They weren't accepted. Let me ask you this. What was the first thing said on record? What was the first thing said by a man or a woman after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden? What was the very first thing out of their mouth? Remember? An excuse. Excuse making is as old as Adam and Eve. And maybe human nature is to say that's the first thing out of our mouth. Well, the woman that you gave me, you know, she gave me to eat. And then the woman says, well, now the devil made me do it. The woman that you gave me. First thing out of our mouths is typically the excuse as to why we're not doing this or doing that. These men didn't do it. And we need to be like these individuals. They didn't have misplaced priorities. Where's Jacob? He's supposed to be helping us tonight with this fire. Where's Jacob? Well, last night, Jacob went up to the Sea of Galilee with some of his friends, and he heard that the fishing was good if you fish at 1, 2, and 3 in the morning. Last night, he was up there fishing 1, 2, 3 in the morning, and he just can't be here tonight. He was doing that all last night. He can't do that tonight. There have been a lot of times when brethren have done things, and the same amount of time and energy that it takes to do something involving the Lord's work, they'll use that same amount of time and energy to do something else, and then they can't do the Lord's work. Some of it has to do with attendance. Some of it has to do with volunteering to do things and so forth. They didn't have misplaced priorities where they would go and put the same amount of energy into fishing all night long, but I can't do my duty all night long. I can fish all night long, but I can't do my duty all night long. The Lord sees that. I was at a congregation one time where on a regular basis, brethren would miss the service and they wouldn't volunteer for things. And when you asked them about certain kinds of things, they said, well, I was out doing this and I was out doing that. We were at a congregation one time where a lady regularly missed on Wednesday night. And when we would check on her, she'd say, well, I had my hair appointment. And I had my hair appointment in the morning. And then I had some errands I had to run. And by the afternoon, I'm just tuckered out. Well, you could move your hair appointment to another day. My point is, we will put the same time and energy into something of ourselves, but we, when it comes to doing that for the Lord, well, you know, I can't do that. They didn't do that. There were things that they had to do all night, and they reserved themselves for that. And let me tell you something. If I had been, and by the way, it wasn't the same men every night. They had a course. It was called the courses, a group of men that took it for one night, and then another group of men took it for another night. They didn't do it every night. But when you were assigned to that night, you did that all night long. Listen, if I had been assigned to that, it would have been difficult for me. I am not a night person. I don't like 1, 2, and 3. I want to be sleeping. We call it the graveyard shift. I wouldn't want to be doing that. But if I was assigned to that, I'm going to have to decide, am I devoted and selfless and loving, or am I going to be the excuse maker? I'm sure there were men in those courses that had struggle with 1, 2, and 3 in the morning. Surely there would be some. But they're praised for being the night watchers. And then last of all, there was no convenience. I'll do it if it's convenient. Well, listen, it's about 9 p.m. You know, it looks like I'm not going to be able to sleep anyway. Not going to be able to sleep. I've had a rough day. I'm up. I'm wired. Sign me up. I can stay up all night and keep the fires going. Because it's convenient. It happens to be a night that I'm up already. We'll do that sometimes. I'll do it if it's convenient. But I won't do it otherwise. You see, there was none of that. These men are praised for their proper priorities and doing it not out of convenience, but out of conviction. And so as we close this evening, we are a spiritual priesthood. 1 Peter 2:5, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And we ought to be thankful that the Lord never asks us to do these kinds of things. We don't have to stay up all night and keep a fire going under the new covenant. We have much less that's been asked of us, and sometimes brethren cannot do those things. So let us be encouraged to be the night watchman. We are to offer up a continual praise to God that is the fruit of lips, Hebrews 13:5. We're to serve God day and night. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2 and verse 37. You know, I've made comment this evening about those who are older. And the older ones are the committed ones. Do you know we find that in the Word of God? Turn with me to Luke chapter 2 and the story of the birth of John the Baptist, and then later the story of the birth of Jesus. Who is it in the temple in Luke chapter 2? Who is it that is praising God, serving God in the temple day and night? Who is that? 20-year-old? Teenager? Is that who it is? Who is this Anna? Luke chapter 2 and verse 36, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age. We're going to find out exactly how old later. Having lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and she had been a widow even unto 84 years, 84 years old, who departed not from the temple, worshiping with fastings and supplications day and night. 84 years old. Let me ask you something. A woman like that, was that because she didn't have aches and pains? Was that because she never had children and she never had this? No, I'm sure she could have had all of that. You know what was different about her? Right here and right here. That's what's different. These night watchers, some of those men had aches and pains, surely. They had kids. They had other things going on. They had stuff to fix around the house. What was different about them? Right here. And right here. And we can be like that. And that's the encouragement. Do you know we need to be like that? Turn with me to the book of Revelation. If we want to be in heaven, we need to be someone now who's willing to serve God day and night. Because those are the ones who are going to be around His throne. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 7 and verse 15. There are heavenly creatures in chapter 4 that are serving God day and night. And when we get to heaven, chapter 7 verse 15 is a description of faithful Christians who get to heaven. Therefore are they before the throne, and they serve Him day and night in His temple. And He sitteth on the throne, shall spread His tabernacle over them. That's why we want to do it now. Because we want to be in that crowd who will do it there. Day and night. Constant and continual serving of God. Don't ever stop serving God. Don't serve God out of convenience. And let's not make the excuses. And let's not have the misplaced priorities. In Psalm 92, we need to be someone who reads God's Word on a daily basis, Psalm 119, and we need to have this attitude that is mentioned in chapter 92, verses 1 and 2. It is a good thing to give thanks unto Jehovah and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. That needs to be our attitude. Let us not neglect the work that is in the home. We've had discussions already this week and even today with some of our older brethren in lamenting the fact that the home is falling apart. There is work to be done now in the home to keep ourselves faithful and to keep our children faithful. There is a work there, Titus 2 and verse 5. Workers at home. Let us not neglect that. Remember 2 Chronicles? Be not negligent, Hezekiah said. Be not negligent. Maybe it's just good for us. And I put myself at the top of the list. This lesson is for me. It's good for us simply to take a step back. Maybe we've been negligent. And let's get back to, as we sung with Rick, these seriously sentiments about working and working hard, because that judgment day is coming. There is also a work in our own personal selves. Let us have the humility to say, I've been wrong, and I've been doing some things that I shouldn't be doing, and I need to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. I need to do better. I'm going to be the one that opens up the door. I'm going to be the one that serves and cares. That dear sister with arthritis, her husband was an elder. When we were there, they were in their 70s, upper 70s. They would not have a lot of brethren over into their home because her arthritis was so bad, she couldn't clean her house real well. But every week, they were taking somebody out to eat. They were buying gas for someone. They were always there working at the building. They put a new set of tires on a car of a brother who was struggling, all the time helping. We may not be able to do certain kinds of things, but we can do other things. The night watchers. That woman was racked with pain. But what was different about her was here and here. So there might be some personal change that we need to make in addition to that of the home. And then, of course, let us not neglect the Lord's work. A part of that is attendance. A part of that is evangelizing in this community and talking with others. Some of you this week have told me that you've been inviting others and talking with others. Teaching. Volunteering in and out of the building. Whatever it is, we're going to be the night watcher. That's what we need today in the Lord's church. Please be one. Help me to be one. That's what the Lord's church needs today. That's what our next generation needs. They need to see that in us. Our young people here need to see that in us. They don't need to see excuses and convenience and misplaced priorities. They need to see that person, you know, brother and sister so-and-so. I always saw them. They were the ones there at 1 a.m. and 2 a.m. and 3 a.m. keeping that fire going. And then we know that this congregation will continue to exist in years to come with brethren like that. And when our elderly brethren here pass on from this life, we know that that is coming. It is appointed unto man once to die. As sad a day as that will be, there will be those who will take their place. Let that be you. Let that be me. You may need to begin that dedication and duty by coming forward this evening, repenting of your sins and being baptized into Christ, or as an erring child of God, come back in some way. Pray together. We'll help you. We'll encourage you. But be the night watcher. Do you know who is praised? The night watcher. We know that God praises those individuals and blesses those individuals with that heart and that attitude. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and sing? The voice of the Savior says, come.